From APM, I'm Adrienne Hill in for Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. The Netflix series, Orange is the New Black, was set to premiere in June.
We're laying low and we're staying out of trouble.
That's right. We see trouble, we turn around and walk the other way. We are out of the business.
A hacker, or hackers, that goes by the name The Dark Overlord, is doing the opposite of laying low and has leaked the episodes online. The hacker is also threatening to post shows from other networks, including ABC and Fox. Michael Smith is a professor of information technology and marketing at Carnegie Mellon. He's the author of Streaming, Sharing, Stealing: Big Data and the Future of Entertainment. Thanks for joining us.
Adrienne, it's a pleasure to be here.
So once a film or television show is out there, like Orange is the New Black, is there anything studios can do to prevent it from being shared and watched?
They're almost fighting a losing battle at that point. You know, you can send notice and takedown orders to Google to ask them to take it out of their search results. And you can do that with other sites. But really, the battle's been lost.
What's the cost of piracy like this? Who's it hurt? How much does it hurt?
What our research and what the academic research suggests is that it hurts a lot. You know, is that particularly people who would have otherwise purchased the product are much less likely to buy the product when they know they can get it for free. Netflix's exposure might be different than a typical studio, but what we know for studios is piracy hurts a lot.
Could this hack reinvigorate the call for more anti-piracy laws and legislation out there?
It could. And what we've seen with a bunch of other countries that have tried some programs to block websites is that they've actually been effective at changing consumers' behavior. That's something that we haven't done thus far in the United States, to say, you know, we are going to require ISPs to not allow access to certain websites that are known to facilitate piracy.
What are the arguments that we shouldn't site block?
Well, I think there's certainly arguments you can make that we don't want this to happen willy-nilly. We want this to happen with good reason. But a lot of these sites are pretty much cut and dry, that they're facilitating piracy and there isn't a whole lot of legitimate content being shared. And so now I wonder whether we want to start exploring more of the regulatory measures to just simply make it harder to consume pirated content in the hopes that some people will switch over to legal.
Michael Smith is a professor of information technology and marketing at Carnegie Mellon. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Adrian.
Venture capitalists are throwing huge sums of money at entrepreneurs. According to the Wall Street Journal, new venture capital and private equity funds raised nearly $200 billion in China last year. The number of unicorns, those are startups that claim their value is over $1 billion, is higher than the number of unicorns in the U.S. There's talk of a bubble in industries like bike sharing. We called up Paul Kudrowski to get a read on the whole thing. He's a partner at SK Ventures. Paul, thanks for talking with us.
Great. Glad to be here.
Why is there so much VC money in China right now?
So at the highest level, it's because China, on a policy level, is trying to change directions. If you recall, over the last, say, 10 years, an awful lot of the money that's been made by investors there has largely been in real estate. And so they're trying to steer people away from that particular, how shall we call it, frenzy, bubble, something, and towards innovation-driven growth.
Does it make sense from a policy perspective?
No. It all breaks down because you can't actually have all these companies succeed at once. And more importantly, you can't get them all out on the public markets because nobody wants to invest in a failed company. And so it can only push so hard before the whole thing begins to break down. And it tends to break down, you know, fairly catastrophically.
Are there the companies and ideas in China to justify some of this investment?
Absolutely. There are some remarkable entrepreneurs and some great ideas. The trouble is there's a real herding effect that happens, that a couple of good people make some money and some value and create some companies that grow quickly in one area, and then everyone rushes in. So what's happening right now is exactly that, this remarkable herding into bike sharing.
Yeah, and I've seen pictures of some of these bike sharing. I'm just like, piles of bicycles.
It's to the point, and you hear stories, and I've heard stories from friends in China about this, that some cities are having to actually change designations on streets and saying, because what's happening is the streets are getting taken over, not just by people biking on them, but by storing all of these bikes and as by actually having to repair them all. So there's like entire industries emerging around repairing all these broken bicycles. And the point is that no one's really making money in the first place. So it's not like you can say, oh, great, we're creating all these ancillary businesses around bike sharing. No, we're creating a whole bunch of money-losing industries all related to one money-losing business.
So how does this play out from here? I mean, how does this actually start breaking down in a more dramatic way than just piles of bicycles?
So weirdly enough, there's actually some interesting upside for the economy, which is that you're creating a new cohort, cadre of Chinese tech entrepreneurs who are getting some scar tissue and some experience on largely on the government dime, because a lot of this capital is flowing from the government in China. And that augurs well for their future growth, because they're going to get away from real estate and infrastructure and actually doing more entrepreneurial things. So I think that's super positive. But in the short run, there's going to be an awful lot of cash burnt on a very large bonfire here.
Paul Kudrowski is a partner at SK Ventures. Thanks so much.
Sure.
The White House launched the American Technology Council this week. The executive order says its goal is to improve the way feds use technology. The council will include members from the tippity top of government, including the president, the vice president, the secretaries of commerce, defense, and homeland security, and the administrator of the U.S. Digital Service, a different organization created by President Obama to improve the way the government uses tech. I'm Adrienne Hill, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.